praise the Lord. Are you looking for that day? Expecting it? It might be tonight before we get out of this service. Turn with me in your Bibles this evening to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. And we want to continue our studies in the 10th chapter. We've been looking at the providence of God in these verses, especially in this last part of the chapter. And we have noted that it is always moving. It is constant and always moving. Not only that, we have noted that there is agreement and there is uniformity in the employment of His providence. What a blessing to know that as well. And then last week we looked at and considered the thought, the motions of providence, the motions of providence, which as we thought about that, it goes to the sovereignty of God. He's sovereign. He's the ruler. And it's according to His purposes, according to His direction. Whatever the Lord pleases, whatever He pleases, He does. And He never is pressed upon for new counsels, new purposes, new directions. And also all His providences are perfectly known by Him, since He directs them, since He is the one that provides it. They are perfectly known by Him. Stands in the face of His eternal being, who He is. His purposes are eternal. And so therefore His providences are eternal. And this was all taken care of in the mind of God, we would say, before the foundations of the world. Tonight we want to look at the administration of providence. The administration of providence. But before we get into that, we want to read just a few verses here to get our thoughts in to the likeness that we have before us. So let's begin reading with verse 8. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by one cherub and another wheel by another cherub. And the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone. And as for their appearance, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. I think in time past we compared that to, in my mind's eye, a gyroscope of sort. You understand. Verse 11. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked. They followed it. They turned not as they went. And their whole body, and their backs, and their hands, and their wings, and the wheels were full of eyes round about. These cherubim, these were full of eyes. I mean, all of it. Four wise, round about. Even the wheels that they four had. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel. You remember, starts out that verse with plural wheels. And then he says, O wheel, to show us that they are all united as one. There is oneness in the purposes and directions of God and the providence of God. Tonight, as we said, we want to consider the administration of providence. And that is God's hand. God's hand is the administrator. So God is the administrator. It is over earth, it is in heaven and earth, whatsoever he pleases. It is even at work when we are unaware of it, and it's all, he is administering it. He is the administrator. His providence. I want to consider just a few passages of scriptures as we get our thoughts into the administration of it. Turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles. Book of 1 Chronicles in chapter 29. And look with me here at verse 12. He says, both riches and honor come of thee. We can pause there for a minute. Why do Christians labor and work so diligently to get more and more? And sadly, some of them forsake the Lord in the doing of that. You cannot be working diligently for those things and serve the Lord, number one. Serve the Lord most of all. They forget that riches and honor come from the Lord. I guess we got to call them billionaires now, don't we? Even the billionaires and millionaires out here, that's the providence of God. Providence of God for their life. I don't understand why he would give all that to the wicked, to carry on their wicked devices. But that's his business. And who am I to question what he does? And who are you to question what he does? Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. You see, the forces of providence at work is in the hand of the Lord. He is the administrator of it. And he doesn't do it as I please or as you please, but he does it as he pleases, as he has purpose. In the council halls of eternity, we would say. Turn with me now to Acts. Acts, the 17th chapter. And the Apostle Paul makes mention of the providence of God here in this passage of Scripture. Acts 17 and verse 24, he says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Did you get that? You say, well, where's the providence in that statement? Well, I'll tell you where the providence is. He is Lord. And so everything is done according as it pleases Him, according to His purposes. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, and this is a very familiar portion of Scripture, should be anyhow, concerning Jesus Christ. And verse 16 of the first chapter, it said, "For Him," that is Christ Jesus, "for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." You see here, these verses state to us the fact that He created it all. And not only did He create it all, He's governing the providences to them so that they consist, so that they're held together, so they continue on just as He purposed it to continue on until the day when He makes it new. And that day is coming. Many live as though it's not coming. They don't even believe the Bible. And it's our responsibility to educate them, to preach the word of the Lord, to preach the gospel, to preach to them that there is a day of judgment coming. And therefore, it is necessary for them to look to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. He sits on the throne. And that's what gives Him the right to administer providence as He pleases. Paul alluded to that in Acts chapter 17 and verse 24. Turn with me here to the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms. And look with me here at chapter 45. And verse 6. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of Thy kingdom is a right scepter." He sits on the throne. The throne. Not a throne, but He sits on the throne, which makes Him the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth. As I said earlier, who am I to question His means and methods? Who am I to question why He does this, or why He does that, or why He allows this, or why He allows that? You see, He is the sovereign, and He is the ruler. Turn with me to the 103rd Psalm. The 103rd Psalm. In verse 19. "The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all." If you had any doubt as to whether He was ruling over any or all, this verse wipes it away. He rules over all. He has prepared His throne, and He is sitting upon His throne, and He is ruling. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Notice what Isaiah says concerning His throne. Isaiah chapter 66, in verse 1. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest?" And then he goes on to say, "For all these things my hand made." He's made them all. What did you make for me? You know, I get the picture that Israel thought they did some great thing because they prepared a house for the Lord to worship Him. And then they didn't worship Him. As we're seeing in the book of Ezekiel, they worship everything that God had created. And that's what He's calling them into task about here. I have made this all. There's nothing that you have made for me that you made the materials that went into it. Even that calf that you worship, even those creatures on the wall in Ezekiel's vision that you worship, and all manner of four-footed beasts that you worship, I created them. I made them all. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. And he's not talking about the atmospheric heaven. He's not even talking about the starry heaven. He's talking about beyond that. You see. So, by virtue of that, He is the administrator of everything. Providence included. Now, the four wheels were by the cherubim. We read that in verse 9 as we read there. The four wheels were by the cherubim. One wheel by one cherub, and another wheel by another cherub. And remember, they look like some kind of gyroscope or something, you know, a wheel inside of a wheel. And they didn't have to turn whether they went. They did not turn whether they went. They always went straight forward. What an amazing scene. As we consider God's providence and have considered God's providence in the past, it is amazing. The providence of God and how it just flows. It flows to every human being, and not only to every human being, but to every creature, to everything that He's created. You see, I don't have to wonder about some collision course with Earth, of some asteroid on a collision course with Earth, or anything like that, because I know who's directing it. It's in His direction. And that's not His plan and purpose, not at this time anyhow. You see, I don't know how He's going to purge this earth with fire, and the heavens with fire. It may be with an asteroid who collides into it. It may be with the sun blowing up and exploding. Not going to need the sun anymore, because Christ is going to be the light. And the new world to come. But that's just supposition, not Bible. But I don't have to worry, because I know who's in control. He is, according to His providence, according to His purposes. He's at work in every sphere. Remember when we did our studies on the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel and the part about the wheels, and it's like a sphere. The sphere is circular, you know. And that's what these wheels picture. That He is at work in every sphere, directing according to His divine purposes. Concerning the wheels, every wheel has its cherub to guide it. Its cherub. And they're all under the direction of what? Last week and the week before, and probably the week before that, I'd have to look back in my notes. But they're under the direction of the Spirit of God. Let's see. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. Chapter 1. Let's begin reading verse 10. I've got 13 and 14. Those are the ones we'll hone in on. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Notice verses 13 and 14 now. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? He says the angels of God. And you understand that can be one whom he sends in a human form to minister to you in your need in salvation. But we also know that we have guardian angels watching over us in everything that we do. And that verse tells us that they're ministering spirits for the heirs, the recipients of salvation. So they're there to every child of God that is born again. There's a ministering spirit, angel, if you please, watching over them. Now, we want to turn to the book of Psalms again, and the 103rd chapter again. We want to continue reading from where we read there in verse 19. We read verse 19. Until the time, I got the wrong chapter. Here we go. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. We read that, right? Now look at verses 20 through the end of the chapter. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, and excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. You got the picture here? I believe here he's talking about us, the saved of the Lord, are his angels, are his ministers. But not only they, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure, all of his hosts that do his pleasure. All the Lord's people, the angels, the guardian angels, the angels who are sent with a sword to destroy. As in the book of Ezekiel, that was the Babylonian army. They were the angels of the Lord sent with swords to destroy, the captive, all his hosts. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, all his works. In all places of his dominion, Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, it's all under the administration of God, and he uses it all as it pleases him to minister his purpose. The promise. That's wonderful. Administration of God's providence by the Lord. Psalms 104. In verse 4, he said, "Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire?" Here the semblance is to a flaming fire. It's talking about the angels of wrath. Remember the angel of the Lord going through the camp of the Assyrians and slaying the Assyrians and other hosts. The Syrians. You see, and as we've already mentioned, the Babylonian army, the Syrian army, they were all angels of the Lord in flaming fire, taking vengeance in flaming fire. Turn with me now to Romans. The book of Romans. Romans chapter 13. Another thing for us to consider. For this cause, in verse 6, for what cause? Well, for rulers are not, verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. And I want to pause there and remind you, who determines what's good? The same one who appoints the rulers. And he determines what's good. He determines what's good for me. He determines what's good for you. He determines what is good to serve his purpose, to bring to pass his purpose. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. They are God's ministers, set up by God. Whether I think they're good or whether I think they're bad, they're set there by God to carry out his purpose, whatever that may be. And we know is to bring to pass our good. Is to be for our good. A lot of things I don't understand about that. But because it's in the Word of God, I believe it. And you should too. So that is the administration of God's providence. We're going to quit there with tonight with that one. And next week we'll go on with the idea and thought that, you see, it's just a continuation. He's the administrator. And we've already hit on it this week that it's all under his rule. But that's what our topic is going to be next week. It's all under his rule. And we're going to look at four or five different points under that as to how that all comes out to play and comes to pass. All right, we closing with that portion. We do have a newsletter from Brother Tweet that we want to share with you tonight. And then I'll mention this. I laid on the back table there a report for you to take a look at concerning the Peruvian, the temporary Peruvian relief funds that are being taken in by the Bible Baptist Church in Plant City, and then forwarded on to a couple brethren in Peru who dispersed it to other pastors that they know that are sound and people that are in need. I laid that back on that table for you. There's a letter with it concerning it, and then see how the funds were divvied out as well. Okay, this is from Brother Ted Tweet. He said, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Sylvia and I send greetings to all of you from Lynn, Arkansas. This month has been a very busy one, and I am sorry that this report is a bit late from the usual time, but better late than not, some say. The Lord has been so good to us. He cares for us 24/7 and provides for the needs of his people." Boy, that's the very thing we've been talking about, isn't it? God's problem. "I want to personally thank each individual, the pastor and church, for the leading of the Holy Spirit to help out the brethren in Honduras. On his report here, you see some of the funds that came in for that need as well. This help has been a godsend for many in the churches and missions on the north coast of Honduras. There are 3 churches and 2 mission works who have been blessed by these love offerings from God's people. This need will continue for a while longer as this virus is still prominent in Central and South America. I have heard from the pastors, and they are so thankful for your help, and we thank you as well. In our financial report, we have listed the June one, the June offerings, and the distribution as well. We will be sending them more help next week, and as the Lord's supplies. The Faith Missionary Baptist Church has been now worshiping almost back to normal. The Lord has brought back some who had not come for a while, and a new woman has started to attend. It is wonderful to see interest in the church, and I feel that our services have been a blessing to each one. The lost continue to come, and of course, we are praying for their soul salvation. Please be praying for my family, if you would. Some of them are heavy upon my heart and need the Lord's help today. Amen. God bless you all, and thanks so much for your care and love for the work of the Lord. Yours in Christ, Ted and Sylvia Tweet." Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your blessings, for providing, raising up churches and brethren here in the States to help with the need in Honduras in this time of pandemic. We thank you also, dear Heavenly Father, for the great response in raising up churches and brethren to support the need and among the Peruvian brethren. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to move upon the hearts of your people to be gracious and merciful and compassionate and giving in this time of need. That's what you've called us to do, dear Heavenly Father. You've called us to work, that we might in turn give to the poor. Lord, let us be a help and a blessing in this time of pandemic. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for Brother and Sister Tweed, for their ministry in Lynn, Arkansas, and the church there. And praise, dear Heavenly Father, that you would bless your word as it's taught and preached in faithfulness, and that you would save the lost according to your good pleasure and add to church as you please. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.